Hi guys, welcome to the Tech Life Podcast, where we speak about all things tech, career, culture, connections, and everything in between. We are super excited that you're listening to us, and we hope that this episode informs and entertains you. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Hi guys, welcome back to the Tech Life Podcast. So, we are back with the second episode of in which we're discussing work culture in tech space with Fumnaya. Hi, Fumnaya.
Hi again.
Welcome back. All right, guys. So if you listened to the last episode, we discussed what work culture is, what work culture should be, who spearheads the work culture in the tech space, and just generally getting, like, picking Fumnaya's brain on what he thinks work culture is, right? So now we're going to be going into the nitty-gritty and asking Fumnaya about his experience work culture-wise, which means we're going to be expecting gists.
Wow.
Well, not gists, but we just want to hear from him, you know? He's been here for a while. I mean, in the tech space, rather. So, yeah. So, the question that I will be asking is... Wait, I hope you guys listened to the last episode so that... Because it's cheating if you did not listen to that one and you're here. Just know that is wrong. All right. So, Fumnaya, do you think that there are red flags that one might use to recognize a company with bad work culture?
A lot of red flags. I think there are red flags.
Okay.
And one of the red flags that you should watch out for is when the company is cares less about your success as an individual, your growth as an individual, and only cares about what should be achieved for the company. Now, the problem with that is some companies do not understand that as you grow, you become better. And in becoming better, you become more valuable for the organization. But most organizations are not ready to hear any of that. They are not good, you know, with growth and all that stuff. So when they see an employee who is so adamant about, like, their growth and growing, they shut it down immediately. Mm. And another thing that you typically see is when collaboration is less and competition
is more.
Competition is so fierce and is extremely toxic, right? Kind of competition where if we're working together, for instance, I don't care about what I'm going to do or what I'm going to... I don't care about what the team is going to succeed in. I only care about what I'm going to do to bring you down to get that promotion. Right.
It's like a jungle.
So it's a jungle, basically. You are fighting for your life. And
wow.
I'm ready to destroy you to get that senior position.
Without message.
Yeah. And if you see a lot more micromanaging, you know, someone always like micromanaging every 5 seconds. Where are you? What are you doing? So what that happens is that when there's micromanaging, there's a lack of trust. And when there's a lack of trust in the individual, you give them the sense that they are not essentially important to the team in that sense. So their work is something that you always have to nitpick every 5 seconds. They're not as good as you think that they are. You're not giving them the confidence to go on out there, make the mistakes that they can make, improve in places where they can improve, and also bring more value to your organization in that sense. So when you see all of that, because I've seen a lot of startups, the micromanaging, also the lack of accountability in some of these places. Like, everyone is always trying to blame somebody. You're the reason. It's your fault. It's this. It's that. You're the reason why this is not working and all of that stuff. Instead of coming from a growth mindset, right? Or asking ourselves, like, oh, yeah, this did not work the way it was supposed to work. What did you learn from this? And how do you think you can be better? So I'll use my team as an example. When we were, you know, talking about, because even as Seamless HR has the core values and all of that stuff, we have our own team values that we have to imbibe.
Can I join your team?
We're not hiring at the moment. Wow. But if we are, I will let you know.
Right. You have my number, right?
So we have team values that we have to imbibe. If the team values are not... And I think one of the proudest things that I've been able to do even as a product manager is to build a team that is empowered, a team that feels like they can trust each other, when something is wrong, you'll see one of my developers come up and said, oh, that's not part of our team values. And I'm sometimes I'm shocked, you know, even though I've spoken on this so many times, you know, repeatedly. But they'll come up and they'll just say, yeah, that's not part of our team values. This is something that we should do differently, you know. Mm. And sometimes when they talk about the product, they'll come and say, oh, yeah, I didn't really like the way that person really talked about the product in that sense. I feel like it can be much better. What are the ways that we can improve all of that? That's a growth mindset. Yeah. It's not coming from a place of, oh, that person was so terrible. Like, you should never speak about a product again. No, it's coming from a place of, how can we improve? Mm. What can we learn from our failures, our mishaps, any of this
even
stuff?
From our successes.
Yes, from our successes as well, you know. And we celebrate all of that together as a team, not as an individual. So, yeah, I think those are, like, a few red flags. Lack of accountability, toxic competition over collaboration.
And micromanagement. I think I just want to talk about that micromanagement for a bit, right? Because I think many tech teams have stand-ups.
Yes.
They have stand-ups. They have check-in meetings, right?
Yes.
So how does a stand-up not become a micromanaging technique?
Interesting question.
And then per team, who should be, like, for example, who attends a product team stand-up?
So I'll use my own team. We have stand-ups, not because we want to micromanage people, but because we want to eliminate blockers for people.
Okay.
So the way we run our stand-ups is this. Before, we have stand-ups 10 a.m., Monday to Friday. So before the stand-up, we have like a Slack bot or some sort that sends out a message to say, okay, what did you do yesterday? What do you plan on doing today? Are there any blockers that would stop you from achieving your goal today? And everyone puts out their all of that stuff. They put it on the thread. So I'm reading through the thread. I'm looking at what everyone is saying. I'm seeing blockers. And when we are coming to stand-up, it's more like, oh yeah, hey, I saw that you had a blocker. What do you think we can do to remove or eliminate this blocker? And then conversation arises and we sort it out in that stand-up, right? And, you know, even after the stand-up, I'm going to ask questions towards the end of the stand-up, like, oh, does anyone have any blocker that they forgot to put on the thread? Can we eliminate that now? Can we talk about that? Any questions and all of that stuff? The reason why we have that is just to make sure that we are providing what the team needs to succeed. By providing what the team needs to achieve the goal of the sprint in this sense.
I think it sort of improves efficiency.
Yes, also sort of like improves efficiency. So we don't have a stand-up because we want to micromanage people. We have a stand-up because we want to help people eliminate the blockers that they might have and, you know, any questions that might arise. Because sometimes people generally forget most things.
Yeah.
And it's maybe during that stand-up that you just remember that, oh yeah, I worked on a particular thing last night and this was the issue it gave me. And so I just wanted to bring it to the team so that we can discuss about it.
Yeah.
And we don't even take more than 15 minutes. And sometimes we've had, the fastest stand-up we've had in my team is like 2 minutes.
Are you sure there's no space on your team?
Yeah, like just 2 minutes. We just, oh yeah, I saw everyone's updates today. No blockers. Everyone good? Yeah, we're good. We're fine. We're ready to go the next today. All right, guys. If you have any blockers, you know to ask. You know to reach out to that person that can help you within the team. And let's see how we can eliminate all of that. So the communication has to be steady.
Mm.
And after that, I don't reach out to any of them like most times during the day. Sometimes maybe there's something, a question that I need to ask. I just ask them personally.
Who does the check-ins? Is there anyone that does check-ins during the day, or your team is just allowed to? Well, just speaking to the micromanagement.
We don't have like, you know, check-ins. Like, okay, yeah, 4 p.m. check-in, 5 p.m. check-in. We don't do that in my team.
Okay.
What we do is we have a feedback channel.
Okay.
And if we have a feedback channel, we also have like a random channel where people can just come and like drop thoughts and all of that stuff. So if you, why we have a feedback channel is that you just come and you just give your
feedback
on things that you saw something that needs to be rectified. Maybe a customer reported something and you really don't know how to navigate that issue. So you can just like drop the feedback and say, oh yeah, guys, this is the problem. And then everybody just comes to the thread and like, oh yeah, why don't you try this way? Why don't you try it? Yeah, suggestions and all of that stuff. So if we win anything personal from anyone, we can go to the feedback channel and tag the person. we can go personally and, you know, DM the person. So that's basically how it works. We don't do, 4 p.m. Let's come. Everybody, come. Let's discuss. Let's talk. Let's talk. And the reason why we don't do that is because we trust people enough to say that this is the thing that I want to achieve today and I will do it. And I've been working with this team for 2 years now, and we've built a certain level of trust and safety within the team. You know, any sort of like toxic behavior, it's snuffed out quickly. And the reason why it would get snuffed out is because the people who are there are more than the person who wants to snuff out, more than the person who wants to bring a toxic behavior, rather. So we can shut it down, right? That is why I said, is the people who are in the culture, a good culture, that can snuff out people who want to bring in a toxic thing. Culture.
That's so, awesome. Thank you for shedding light on that. I just wanted to know. All right, so now, this question. Can you tell us your worst experience?
Oh my God! This is going to be
where you have worked. I mean, if you want to drop names, I'm not adverse to that.
Wow! Poof.
Is it because you have so many experiences?
No, I have one experience that's very strong.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so I worked with Class 45, which was my entry into, you know. Yeah, Class 45 had a terrible work culture. Before they got acquired by GG, when they were just Class 45, they had a terrible work culture. And it was so bad. It was bad to me. It was bad for my health.
I can see the flashback.
It was bad for my health, both my physical and my mental well-being. Mm-hmm. At that time, I didn't really know that it was affecting my mental health until I left. And I saw that, wow, this was really, really was terrible for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are multiple stories that I can tell. I mean, is it the one where the time it was like raining heavily because I was working at a center at Moe Bafor. So I live in Ojodu.
So you were going to Moe every day?
I was going to Moe every day. So because like basically we worked Mondays to Saturdays. Yeah. As we work Mondays to Saturdays. And because of the nature of the job, we had to work Mondays, Saturdays, right? Okay, cool. And there were times where, it was raining heavily. Like, I couldn't really, come out, you know. And even I would tell my manager would say, okay. So go to this center. It's closer to you. Go and work there.
But you still go out.
I'll still go out. Yeah. It was a time, I went in the heavy rain. I was stuck in traffic for a really, really long while. And when I came to the office, my manager was like, why are you late? And all that stuff. And I really had to explain, this is what happened. And, they were not taking any of that. So, and when I talked about stifling growth, I talked about what Class 45 basically did when it came to me pursuing my product management career. So the thing is that my plan was that if I do my product management course, I would be able to get, a higher position as a product manager in Class 45. But what essentially happened was that when I told them this is what I wanted to do, and it was going to take 6 weeks, the HR at that time told me that, okay, this is what we're going to do. For every Saturday you miss, you must work on a Sunday.
What?
Yeah. So, I worked for 6 Sundays, and... Okay, your face. Oh, my God. So, yes. So, I was working Monday to Friday. Saturday, I go to class.
Sunday,
I go to work. Repeat Monday for 6 weeks. So it was a lot for me at that time because I was going to, my class were at Yaba. Mm-hmm. So I was going to Jodu and Yaba. So on Sundays, the thing about Sunday work was that if you work on a Sunday, you get a free day, supposedly. But I wasn't getting free days. Right, because I was missing Saturdays, basically. So Saturday was basically my free day. So the thing about working on Sundays, it wasn't just one particular place. So sometimes I'll get sent to Ikorodu. Sometimes I'll get sent to Magodo. Sometimes I get sent to Egbeda. Sometimes I'll probably get sent to Ogba, to Ikeja. Get sent to various places. Get sent to Moe Bafor. So I'll get sent to all these places working on Sundays. And it was quite a lot at that time. And it was a terrible work experience. I still remember vividly one of the meetings that we had. So it's basically a strategy meeting of some sort. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they called all the operations guys together, and we're all in a room somewhere around the Keja, and the HR was talking about where we are currently, how this was not really sustainable in a sense, and you know, they were talking about, okay, this is what we plan on doing, how we plan on moving forward and all of that. So I think one or two people were sort of like, something was said that was funny, mm-hmm. and one or two people were giggling. And then the co-founder comes out and says, all of you are mad.
I'm sorry?
All of you crazy. The co-founder literally comes and says, all of you are mad, all of you are crazy. Do you think we came here to play? No, we did not come here to play. You're insane. I can sack you right now. Like, I can sack all of you right now and nothing is going to happen. And the HR was just there and she did not say a word, said nothing. And there was no, you know, focus on, oh, how are these people dealing with their mental health in these places? Because we had crazy targets we had to meet, you know. And some people could not really meet that target. There was just a lot of depression, a lot of pain, a lot of mental toll that was going on. You know, and you really could not navigate through all of that because that was like the job that you had at that time. And at that time, I was getting paid 60K.
Jesus.
So I was getting paid 60K to do all of this. Yeah, and that was like my experience, or just a tiny bit of my experience.
That's tiny.
Yeah, that was a tiny bit of my experience. Still remember, and because when you're telling Moe before, sometimes trailers break down,
yeah.
Roads are blocked, you can't do anything, basically. So I remember the time I had to take bike from Weba for to Bega around 9 p.m. because there's a rule in Casper's 5 that if you are supposed to complete a deal, if it's the last deal for that day, you have to make sure that it gets completed that day. And, you know, because if you don't complete it that day, the next day, the person might decide that they are not selling anymore, right? They don't sell their car anymore. And so I had to stay to make sure that deal was completed. Mm-hmm. And it was around like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. And bosses were giving me
outrageous prices
just to get me to Bega. I took a bike to Bega. And yeah, at first it wasn't raining. And then it started raining.
Wow.
And I was drenched.
Thank God you know. You don't look like us. Because
I woke up the next morning, wore my clothes.
I went to work again.
So, yeah. So that was literally like my worst experience.
So sorry.
Oh, I didn't tell you about, this is actually the most important bit of my worst experience. For some reason, I actually forgot to say it. Because I was laid off by Casper 5, but not in the manner that you think that they will lay off someone gently. And it was a Thursday. They just told me that, the HR consultancy that handles the HR operations for Casper 5 just called me and told me that I should come to Lekki the next day. I was like, Lekki? Why am I coming to Lekki? Is everything okay? I was like, just come to Lekki. You know, when I got home and I was like with my mom and she was like, oh, like they said, I've come to Lekki. She's like, okay. Like, see, whatever they say, just accept and just, you know, don't be angry or anything. Just go, right? Now, mind you, Casper 5 headquarters was at Ikeja, but I was told to come to Lekki. Now, when getting to Lekki, I saw that I could not access my Gmail. I couldn't access my office account.
And blocked you from everything.
Blocked me from everything. And when I got there, I saw other guys, about 20. Were there. There were a lot of people that were there and they were like, you already know now this is what is going to happen. I was like, let's just see first. Let the HR now came. Yeah. Sorry guys. We called you guys here to tell you guys that Casper 5 is letting you go. Business reasons, downsizing, all of that stuff. And I just kept on thinking to myself, this could have been done at the headquarters. But you sent me all the way to Lekki from Ojodu to Lekki. And I remember, at that time, I couldn't really, like, use a boat or anything. I had to, like, take a bus around 5 a.m. just to not beat the traffic. And you sent me all the way to Lekki to collect a severance, or to collect a termination letter. Wow, that's interesting. So, that day was social media week. I just called my friend who was Lekki, and I told her that, they fired me. Like, you know, she was like, oh, just come to my house. Just come and eat first and relax. Yeah. And I went to, I think that week was social media week in Lagos. I went social media week, just walked around, and I came back home. And, you know, it was during the height of the pandemic. So, like, the next month, it was pandemic season, mm-hmm. and everyone was in lockdown. And I had a severance check of 70K to survive till June. So, yeah, I was on 70K just surviving, learning product management in my own small space before Sunless HR came and asked me if I was interested in joining them, and did the interview, and it was great. So, yeah, it was terrible. And when I went to Ikeda to the head office to drop my work tools, they called me to a room and they asked me that, oh, what did I think about going to Lekki to collect my letter? And I was like, that's such a very crazy question to ask me. And so I told him plainly that I wish that they were not cowards and they could have spoken to me directly. And he was like, oh, yeah, citing so many reasons that were really not important in that sense. So I just dropped the office laptop, took my letter and whatnot, and I left. I didn't look back.
I'm so glad you didn't look back. What? It's just like a scripted thing. What?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. You now went, God, I beg. Okay, so let's go to the flip side of that. Like, can you tell us one experience that you've had that made you say, okay, where I'm coming from is the trenches. Like, like, this is what work culture should be.
Yeah, working in Seamless HR now is the place where I can say that, yeah, Cassot 5 was truly the gutter. The
trenches.
Yeah, it was the gutter, not the trenches. It was terrible. Yeah, because in Seamless HR, you feel like you're part of something that is much bigger than yourself. At Cassot 5, I never felt like that. I just felt like, okay, cool, this is what it is and whatnot. The funny thing was that Cassot 5 had core values that they did not really practice. But in Seamless HR, the first day come to Seamless HR, you know, I was kind of like getting anxiety because it was remote work, my first remote role. And I was like, okay, what should I do? I was texting like my manager. He was like, no, just calm down. It's your first day, navigate, just be all right. You get your work to, have you gotten your work to? I said, yes. I was like, okay, that's cool. Just, you know, get steady, get ready, just relax. I spoke to the HR. I was like, oh, you know what? Just chill. Welcome to Seamless HR. This is how it is and all of that stuff. I just had like a short conversation. She was like, oh, yeah, the major things will be having like next week. So just relax and be calm. I felt welcomed. I didn't feel like that when I joined Cassot 5, you know. I felt welcomed. I felt like I was a part of something big. I spoke to CEO then, which is like a huge influence on me, like, you know. Whenever we have like discussions, I have the opportunity to talk, I take a lot of things that he says in and, you know, imbibe them as well. And seeing the core value, seeing how dedicated he was to ensuring that he built a healthy culture was something that I was so happy about, you know. Even when the whole toxic, horrible bosses came off and I spoke about my experience on Twitter, you know, a lot of retweets and whatnot. And, you know, some of my friends saw it like, oh, my God, I didn't even know that you were experiencing this. I'm so sorry. You know, one of my work colleagues saw it as well. And, you know, when we had a town hall meeting in Seamless HR, we were talking about horrible bosses and all that stuff and horrible culture. And, you know, I they just told me if I have an opinion, just ask for my opinion. I just told them, yeah. Like, you know, working in Seamless HR has been great for me. And seeing where I'm coming from, which is Cassot 5, you know, just talking about my ordeal, and all of that stuff. And people were able to like empathize and know that, yeah, like it was terrible. But yeah, so far so good. I've enjoyed the work culture here. Nobody is, my manager is empathetic to me. Mm-hmm. I'm also empathetic to my team, right? So I'm not like micromanaging or bringing all that bad stuff or bad energy.
Whatever it is you have
from Cassot 5. Yeah. But I mean, if someone tells me they are sick, you're sick. Why rest? Relax. Cassot 5, if you're sick, they see it as an excuse and they can query you.
Why are you sick today?
Yes, why are you sick today? They can query
of
you.
All these.
Yeah. And it's crazy because It's curious because sometimes when I at the first time I took leave at Seamless HR, I had PTSD. I was like, damn, I'm taking leave.
Whew.
Okay, let me just press the apply button. In less than like 30 minutes, it was approved. Like, no questions. Enjoy your leave. We're not going to disturb you. And nobody disturbed me. We have a rule in my team. If you're going on leave, nobody should disturb anybody.
I should be.
No, like, if you disturb anybody, like, the building has to be crumbling and crashing now, or we make it to the news. But aside from that, like, don't disturb anybody. Let everybody relax. Enjoy their rest. And I'm always adamant, because I always ask about the well-being about my team members. If you're not great physically and mentally, you will not be able to do the best work.
Yeah.
And it's not just doing the best work for me. It's not about that. It's for yourself. Yeah. You won't be able to do the best work for yourself. And if you now bring something that is, like, substandard, and people will not really know that you are not feeling too well, you know. That's why I always emphasize on, like, communicating within teams. Mm-hmm. So, I think Seamless HR has also allowed me, or given me the opportunity to also imbibe the things that I believe I want to imbibe within my own team.
Yeah.
Yeah, like empathy, strong communication, initiative and responsibility, all of these things. I mean, those are some of our core values, mm-hmm. you know, in Seamless HR. And we take them seriously. If you don't imbibe those core values, it means that you're, like, against us.
Yeah.
And you want to turn the company upside down. And we will not allow that.
Yeah. I think that's, like, a major difference between Class 45 and Seamless HR.
Would be
that they both had values,
mm-hmm.
but Seamless HR chose to imbibe theirs.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. Those are just the audio value.
Ah, audio value. One of the values was integrity. And, yeah, they did not practice integrity.
Oh, my God.
Not even close.
Okay, so I think my second to last question would be, how would you advise a company that has a bad work culture to change? I mean, like, listening to this, some people might be, the shade might be a lot. Maybe the table that they're on is breaking. You know? How would you advise them to make a change?
So I think the first thing about change is that it starts with the conversation. How is our work culture? How are the people enjoying working here? Do they enjoy working here? If they get out of this building today and someone asks them, well, I'd like to work for that company, would they feel giddy inside, like, yes, please come? We're looking for people like you. We would love to have you here. Or are they feeling like, ah, my guy, please don't even
run.
You know? And that's the most important thing. I think management has to start with the conversation. Guys, be honest.
An honest conversation.
It could be anonymous, it could be open. And if conversations like this are happening, please, it should not come from a place of, oh, yeah, like, oh, I'm going to punish you because of what you said. It should come from a place of, I hear you. And we are going to take practical steps to change this.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be audio conversation. It should be serious. These are serious conversations here. Because you want to build an institution. Like, I mean, some people don't want to build an institution. Hence why they resort to work bullying, negative criticism. There's a difference between constructive and negative criticism. Yes. Exploitative manners of all sort of things. Mm. It's just crazy in that sense. And I think the most important thing to recognize is if you do a deep dive with everyone in your organization, you see that your work culture is bad and it's not good and it's toxic, you should look at ways in which you can improve it.
Yeah.
Look at ways in which you can imbibe a good work culture.
Mm.
That's the advice I would give, like, any management team. Like, be open to change. Be open to criticism.
And to unlearning.
Yeah. Because if you lose the good people that are giving you the best work, you can say that, oh yeah, we'll hire another person. Everyone knows that talent is hard. To hire someone who can do what you want them to help you achieve is hard.
It's hard.
And if you lose great people and you're not bringing someone that it's just like, oh, I'm just using these people 1 month, I'm out of here. It's not helpful.
I think it also says a lot if you don't have a good retention rate.
Yes, I was actually going to talk about high turnover rate. Yeah. I know a certain startup that right now, I think on their team, they are less than 4. The entire organization is probably less than 5.
Was that? Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people left.
Wow.
People were leaving here and there. The HR was toxic. The CEO was toxic. The CEO was toxic.
Everybody was just
being toxic. And people were leaving. A lot of people were leaving. So they refused to have that conversation with themselves. Mm. They just kept on thinking, like, you know. Mm. And I think the most shocking part was that this was an organization that, you know, was really focused on social initiatives for women.
Mm.
And
they were not doing that
for the women that company. Work in their company. And that was the painful part. That was serious irony. So have serious conversations and take practical steps to ensuring that change is put in place. So make sure that people, when they come in to work, they are not coming in with fear. They are coming in with positivity. Even though things go wrong, they are not coming from a place of, this is over for me. They are coming from a place of, I'm going to learn from this and I'm going to improve.
Yeah. All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
So we've come to the end of this episode.
Oh.
Sad. I know. Do you have any final words for us about regarding work culture? Just generally, any word of advice that you would like to leave us with?
Yeah. I think with people who are in bad work cultures, I think it's also important that you evaluate strongly if you still want to continue in that kind of culture. I think in a way we've been taught that, oh, just work for any organization. Nobody really told us about work culture and all of that stuff. Work for any organization, just collect the money. Is it not the money? Collect the money. Some people have left higher deals because of work culture.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this for my own mental well-being. It's not that deep. Mm-hmm. It's money, yes, but it's not that deep, right?
Sure.
So I think it's really important to, for people who are in bad work cultures, properly evaluate your career. If it's something that you feel like you need to leave, you should leave.
Yeah.
If you feel like you probably need to take like a month on all that stuff to gather everything that you need to do, do that. But the most important thing is that you don't remain there for long unless you're stunted. Mm-hmm. Unless you are. Because by the time you come out, you'll be having like serious PTSD. And it's not going to be the most helpful for you.
Yeah.
But I feel like work cultures should not be a side chick. It should be the most important thing first and foremost before the work comes in. It's the work culture that dictates how the work would essentially go.
Yeah.
If it's going to go far, it's because of the culture.
Mm.
If it's not going to go far, it's also because of the culture. So, yeah.
Thank you, Naya, so much.
You're welcome.
That's it for this episode, guys. Thank you so much, Naya, for being here and having this conversation with me. Thank you for the gist. That is the most impressive part for me. And it's been so, so amazing having you. It's been so insightful and, you know, entertaining as well. Right? And I've learned a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Naya. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed speaking. I mean, if you couldn't tell that we enjoy speaking, then were you really listening? So please don't forget to share this episode with your friends and colleagues. And do not forget to subscribe too. So just stay tuned for our next episode as usual. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.